بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، ونفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. قال الله تعالى: ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. وقال تعالى: ومن قتل نفسا فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders and fellow students, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you know that we are going through a very important stage and facing many trials and tribulations, and it is common sense and obvious that we should talk about the issues which the Muslims are facing. And it would be inappropriate for me to talk about something else besides talking about what's happening now in this day and age with the Muslims. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I did talk about the issue of the war in Iraq and the problems faced by Muslims in general. And I did talk about the duties which each and every one of us, each and every Muslim, has upon himself in these times of trials and tribulations, and what we are supposed to do. And I summarized them in about 4 or 5 different things which we're supposed to do. And I don't want to repeat myself again, but today I want to talk about something which is related to the same topic, which is that we see, and this is also something which Muslims say, it came from the non-Muslims, but unfortunately even Muslims have started saying this and having this conception or misconception or having this idea that we see today everywhere in the world. We see in Iraq, in the Middle East, in India, Pakistan, in Kashmir, in Chechnya, in Bosnia, wherever we see Muslims are engaged in war. They are engaged in a bloody war, and they are fighting amongst themselves, or they're fighting wherever we see Muslims are fighting. And this idea which the non-Muslims have, that Islam is a religion of violence, it teaches violence, and it is a religion which is based on violence. There's extremism in Islam, and as I said, this came from the non-Muslims, and even Muslims are saying this, na'udhu billah. And this is a very widespread idea, and it is also in the media that Muslims, and we all know about this, that they say that Muslims, they are extremists, and extremism is part of Islam, and there are fundamentalists. If we look at the word fundamental or fundamentalist or being a fundamentalist, there's one scholar who wrote a book that this actual word came from Christianity. There was a group of Christians in America who used to live in America, and they used to act upon the Bible. They used to take everything from the Bible literally, and they used to be extremists in following the Bible. And the book they wrote, they had a book in which they talked about themselves. The book which they wrote was known as The Fundamentals. And this is something directly connected with Christianity, non-Muslims. And now Christians, Jews and non-Muslims, they have given the label to Muslims as they are fundamentalists. Islam does not have no extremism. There is no terrorism in Islam. Islam does not have no extremism. The Quran verse which I just recited in front of you, Allah says that وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, that if you kill one person without a right, then it is as though you have killed the whole of humanity, whole mankind. Allah says وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, you have killed the whole mankind. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّذِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, that do not kill anybody unjustly without a right. And Islam has given guidelines that when you go in war, you don't kill civilians, you don't kill women, you don't kill children. And this is something which we can talk about. Even the non-Muslims talk about that we don't kill civilians. But it's easy to say, but it's hard to practice. The non-Muslims, the Christians, and the USA, and the British, and everybody, they say that this is their human rights, that we don't kill civilians, but it's easy to say. Well, when it's time for action, we see thousands and thousands of civilians are being killed in Iraq. In World War II, what happened in Japan? Thousands and thousands of women, children, they were absolutely taken out from the face of this earth, and they were severely deformed in Japan. So it's something which is easy to say, but practically, when it comes to human rights, when it comes to civilians, when it comes to treating and respecting other people, treating women and children, and safeguarding their rights, then there is no right. And as you know, Islam is the meaning of Islam, the word Islam, which Allah has given us the name, الْيَوْمُ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. I have given this name as Islam, I have chosen this name of Islam for you. Islam has two meanings. One is submission, and I did talk about this once before, that Islam means to submit to the will and to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time Islam means peace. When we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the greeting which you have in Islam, it is peace be upon you. The whole religion is based on Islam. And here as well is one important aspect to remember, and many people they say Muslims, instead of Muslims, they say Muslims. And this has also come from Christianity and from non-Muslims. And unfortunately here as well, even the Muslims, they call themselves, we are Muslims. You see, the Arabic word, and this is something which is very important. It's not just a matter of saying Islam and Muslims and Muslims. No, there's a big fundamental major difference between the two words. For example, the word Islam, which is from Aslama Yuslimu Islaman in Arabic, which means that the person is peaceful, he shows peace, and he is polite, he is gentle. Aslama Yuslim, Muslim is, as they call in Arabic, ism fa'il, which means the person who is gentle, who is polite, who is peaceful. He likes peace. This is the person who is Muslim. Whereas azlama, with a ra in Arabic, azlama yuzlimu muslim, which means the person who is an oppressor, zulm, which means oppression, suppression, and being a big tyrant. So, أَظْلَمَ يُظْلِمُ Muslim, which means the person is a tyrant, he's an oppressor, and he oppresses other people. Now look at the difference between the two. Muslim means the person who is gentle, polite. Whereas a person who if you say Muslim, then he is a total opposite meaning, which means that this person is a tyrant and he is an oppressor. So this is on the side, but we should also call ourselves non-Muslims, Muslims, with a S. If you spell it in English, you should say M-U-S. When you pronounce it, you pronounce it as Islam and Muslim. And this is our scholars, many of my teachers have mentioned this, that we as Muslims, we should even mention our Islamic terms in a proper, correct manner according to the rules and qawa'id and regulations in the Arabic language. We should not even translate them. For example, salah, we should not translate it as prayer, whether it's in English or any other language. And this is something which I really personally feel strong about, that we should not even translate it in other language. For example, salah, in Urdu they say namaz. And I normally say to students, don't translate it as namaz or prayer in English. Just use the Arabic term which is salah. This is one of the shi'ar. You know, these words are part of our Islam. Salat, zakat, hajj, sawm. These things should be used in the Arabic term. Yes, if you are writing an article or you are writing something for new Muslims or for Muslims who don't have that much knowledge, then you can use the other term, but with the Arabic term. Write in brackets, write salah, and then write in bracket prayer. Write azan, and then write in bracket the call to prayer. Hajj, Quran, all these words, they should be pronounced. First of all, use the Arabic terms, and then after that they should be pronounced in a proper, correct manner, with the proper Arabic pronunciation. So here as well, Islam and Muslim, Islam means peace, the person who loves peace, and he does not oppress anybody. And this is the whole concept of our religion, of Islam. And these people say that Islam is a religion of terror. And Islam is always connected to, affiliated to, and related to, and referred to terrorism. And if we look at the word, the definition of terrorism, if we look at the definition mentioned by them, is terrorism, they give a long definition, and in the definition they say that unlawful use of force against a civilian population in order to intimidate them, or for them to submit to some sort of social objective. This is more or less the definition given by them for terrorism. Unlawful use of force. Now, there's a major problem with this definition. Who will determine what is unlawful? Something I might do, I might say this is lawful. What you do, you might say that's lawful, and I might say that this is unlawful. Who will determine this, what is unlawful and what is lawful? So there is a major problem with this definition that unlawful, and there could be sometimes things done by a country, by a state, which is unlawful according to the whole humanity, according to international law, according to the Geneva Convention. There are things which a state does which is unlawful. Killing of civilians in Iraq, is that something which is lawful? This is of course unlawful. Thousands and thousands of civilians are being killed in Iraq. We are not talking about the army, we are not talking about the government, and this is between them and the government. And when we talk about Iraq or we talk about Muslims, we don't talk about government, and neither we give our opinion that who's correct. We don't know who's right, who's wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. There are Muslim governments, we don't know if they have problems that with them, but we care about the normal innocent Muslims, children. If you see the pictures of Muslims being killed, small children, you see the injuries faced by them. You can see them in the newspaper, you may see them on the news. The civilians are being killed, and they say we've killed only a few civilians. No, if you go and see down there, thousands of civilians are being killed. So this is something unlawful. If this is not terrorism, then what else is terrorism? So they say Islam is connected to terrorism and Muslims are terrorists. And this is some, whatever Muslims do is terrorism. But the same thing they do, they kill civilians, they kill children, they kill innocent people, they kill small children and women, then this is not terrorism. So as I was mentioning, that Islam has nothing to do with extremism. There is no extremism in Islam. There is no fundamentalism in Islam. Allah, in the Hadith of Prophet Allah, in the Quran Allah says, لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Do not be extreme. Do not be extreme in your deen, in your religion. And Islam looks after the rights of even non-Muslims. Islam teaches us to respect and care for your fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, and also non-Muslims, and not just non-Muslims, even animals. There's a hadith, famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he mentioned that a woman from Banu Israel, that she was punished and was put into the fire of hell because Uzzibad, she was punished because of a cat she kept in her house. Neither la hiya at'amatha, neither did she feed her, neither did she let it free so it can eat by itself. Because of this punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished her and put her into the fire of hell. This is what Islam teaches us. Now, not just non-Muslims, even animals. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look in the history that the Muslims, beautiful example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. We saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or before that, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to perform Umrah, in the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, when he came to perform Umrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh said, "We won't let you enter Makkah. We won't let you perform Umrah." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Okay," and they came with their army to fight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with 1,400 people, his family members, his wife, and women were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came, the Quraysh came from Makkah, outside Makkah, with their army, and they were ready to fight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lam naji li muqatil." We haven't come to fight. "Jina mu'tamirin." We have only come to perform Umrah. They said, "No, we won't let you perform Umrah." So then after that they signed a treaty. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he was ordered that he should be a scribe and write this treaty. And then after that the Quraysh, they sent one of the people known as Suhail. He came and he was supposed to write the treaty between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quraysh. One of the first things which they said is that, write, we will write on this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, write, "Uktub bismillahir rahmanir rahim." Write in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. The Suhail said, "We don't know who this Ar-Rahmanir Rahim is. Don't write bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Write bismikallahumma," because they used to say in the name of God, they used to use that name, bismikallahumma. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Okay, no problem, write bismikallahumma." After that, when they wrote the treaty, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Write, hadha ma qada alayhi Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is something on which has been the verdict has been passed by Muhammad Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
He said to the Prophet ﷺ, لَوْ كُنَّا نَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا كُنَّا نُقَاتِلُكَ. If we believe that you are the Prophet of Allah, we wouldn't have had a war and dispute with you. Don't write, هَذَا مَا قَضَى عَلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Don't write Muhammad رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Write Muhammad and write your own name. So the Prophet ﷺ said, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ اُكْتُبْ هَذَا مَا قَضَى عَلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. That verily, by Allah, I am the Prophet of Allah, but don't worry, write on this treaty that this is signed by Muhammad, son of Abdullah. And then after that, they made a treaty which was totally against the Islam. There was no justice in that treaty. They said to the Prophet ﷺ, you can't enter to perform Umrah. The Prophet ﷺ said, okay, we'll go back to Medina. And then after that, they said in the treaty that if any one of our people came to you, you would have to send them back to us. But if somebody left Islam and came to us, then we won't send them back to you. Prophet ﷺ said, okay, we also agree with this. This was in the 5th century, 5th Hijri, the 5th year of Hijri, in the year when the permission of Qital and Jihad was given to the Muslims. Even then, this was a treaty signed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was in outrage. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, alista Rasulullah, aren't you the Messenger of Allah? Why should we be humiliated and have to go down in front of these people of Quraysh? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he calmed Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said that, look, we don't look at our short-term gains, we look at long-term gains. النظر إلى المآلات, which is looking at long term gain. So this was the beautiful akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ. And because of this, many leaders of Quraysh and non-Muslims, they became Muslims. Just because of this, Khalid ibn al-Walid, Amr ibn al-As, and many other great leaders of Quraysh and of non-Muslims, when they saw the character, when they saw the manner, when they saw the adab, when they saw the akhlaq of the Blessed Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they entered into the fold of Islam. And they said that day we were amazed by the akhlaq, the adab, the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That with your enemy, this is how he treats his enemy. In one of the battles of Badr, the great battle of Badr, a great companion by the name of Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu and his father, they were coming to join the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-Madinah al-Munawwara. And when they were coming, they met the group of Abu Jahl on the way. They met non-Muslims. So these people stopped Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman and his father and said, we won't let you go to Medina, and we won't let you go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and join him. They said, please let us go, etc. So they said, okay, at last they said, we'll let you go on the condition that when you go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you promise to us that you won't join his army and fight against us. They said, okay, we promise. And then they let them go. They went and met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, joined up with him. This was the great battle of Badr, Ghazwa al-Badr, in which the Muslims were only 313. They only had 8 swords. They only had 2 horses. They used to have sticks and glass and stones in their hands. Each person, each human being was very valuable for the Muslims. When these two came, the Muslims said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, we have 2 more people who have become Muslims. We have 2 more people in our army. It will be a help for us. The mushrikeen, the kuffar, the non-believers are in abundance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, how did we come this? Mention the story that we came and we were stopped by the kuffar, the non-Muslims, and they took a promise and oath from us that we will not join your army. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can't join our army and you'll have to stay behind from the war. Because this was a promise, a wa'da, an oath you gave to them, then because you can't break your oath. This was the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Ghazwa al-Khaybar, one of the great battles also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, they surrounded a great castle in which the Jews were. One of the shepherds who was, he had sheep and goats, etc. He saw and he heard that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has come. He said, let me go and meet him. He went into the group of Muslims and he said, where is this person known as Muhammad? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions, they said, if you go to that tent, that's where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is staying. He went, he saw that he said he's amazed by the simplicity of the tent made out of date trees. He couldn't believe his eyes. He went into this tent and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this person, he bought the goats and sheep. He was a shepherd, and he used to work for a Jew. The Jew is the enemy of the Prophet ﷺ in the opposite army. So when he bought these shepherds and these goats with him, he came to the Prophet ﷺ. He asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is deen, what is Islam about? The Prophet ﷺ explained to him about aqidah, about tawheed, the basic beliefs of Islam and Jannah and Jahannam, etc. And then he said, look, what happens to me if I accept this religion? Because I am like a very degraded person, a person who's a shepherd. And he said, I am very, I have bad odor, smell from my clothes, dirty clothes. And I am, in his word, he said, I am black and I am this and I am that. And I don't have no social status. What happens if I accept your religion? The Prophet ﷺ said, if you accept Islam, then you will be treated as every single companion of mine here. The good, the bad odor you have, the bad smell in your clothes, Allah will change that to good odor. And you'll have good fragrance, good smell, and you will have good rights, and you'll be treated in a proper, humane manner. When he said that, he said, what will happen if I accept Islam also? The Prophet ﷺ, you will enter paradise, you will enter Jannah, something which, abode which Allah has prepared for the Muslim. He said, okay, I accept Islam, and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. After that, he said, okay, what should I do now? What's the ahkam, the fara'id, the injunctions of Islam? So the Prophet ﷺ didn't say to him, okay, keep a fast and pray a salah, or go in jihad right now. We are in a war with the Jews. He said, the first and foremost thing you do is these goats and these sheep and these animals you as a shepherd have bought here of that particular Jew who is in the castle, and the castle we have surrounded and they are fighting against them. Go and give all his animals back and then come back and ask me what we have to do. He said, I was amazed. He went, he took all the animals, the sheep and the goats which he was a shepherd of, he went and gave it to the Jews, and then he came back, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, now you join us for jihad and now we'll attack the Jews. He said, why? Because you came under agreement that you took his animals, you have to give his animals back. It's not permissible. Even if you are in war, you can't take somebody's, when you're in agreement, then you can't take somebody else's word. And because of, and then after that, when he went in jihad, the story goes along that he was a martyr, and then the companions saw his body, and they called the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ said that, I can see the angels have come and descended, and they have given him good fragrance, they changed his clothes to nice clothes, and they are taking him to Jannah. So this was the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ. Great, great example. If you look at the book of history, and if you look at the books of seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, we'll see that many great examples. These are just some of the examples which I have cited and quoted here. I will end with this, inshallah. So in conclusion, as I mentioned, that Islam respects the rights of even non-Muslims. Fundamentalism, terrorism, extremism has got nothing whatsoever to do with Islam. Islam is a peaceful religion, it gives rights to Muslims, it gives rights to non-Muslims, it gives even animal rights, and it gives human rights. People say today that Islam has no human rights. If this is not human rights, then what is human rights? Islam protects the rights of people, they protect their wealth. This example which I just given you, this is protecting the wealth of even non-Muslims. And these people, the non-Muslims, when they attack Muslims and they say Islam does not give rights, it has no concept of human rights, they say it with their mouths, but when it comes the time of action, then it all goes out of the window. What happened in Japan, as I mentioned before, where were the rights of civilians and innocent human beings then? So in conclusion, we at this time, we are going through trials and tribulations, as I always mention, and this is something which Muslims being attacked everywhere. And this Islam is not to do with terrorism and Muslims. Why are they engaged in war? Because everybody is attacking Muslims. If you're not going to defend yourself, then what, you're just going to be ready to be killed and eaten up by all the other people? Of course you have a right to defend yourself. So Muslims, wherever they are fighting, it's not that it's the extreme or anything like that. They are being oppressed by non-Muslims, and we have a right within ourselves to defend ourselves, and we as Muslims have to help all other Muslims wherever they are, in any way, shape or form, financially, morally, with dua, as I mentioned, that if you can help financially, then you should help. Make a lot of dua. Dua is one of the first and fundamental things which we are supposed to do. And supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make dua, wake up at night and perform qiyamul layl. read the salat of tahajjud and salat qiyam al-layl, and then make dua in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I end on this, inshallah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the ability to practice on what I've mentioned. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar,
الذي خلق الإنسان وقد أتى عليه حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا فسواه وعدله على كثير ممن خلق فضله فجعله سميعا بصيرا ثم هداه السبيل ونصب له الدليل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا أما الكافرون فأعتد لهم سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا يعذبون بأصناف من العذاب ينادون ويلا ويدعون ثبورا وأما الشاكرون فكرمهم ونعمهم ولقاهم نظرة وسرورا فسبحان من بيده ملكوت كل شيء لم يزل ولا يزال عليما قديرا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين وأوصيكم أيها المسلمون ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله تعالى أما بعد فيا عباد الله إن هذا الدين الذي اختاره الله لنا هو دين السلام فقد قال تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فهذا الدين هو دين الإسلام والإسلام له معنيان المعنى الأولى هو أنه الخشوع والخضوع والإذعان لحكم الله عز وجل والانقياد لحكم الله عز وجل والمعنى الأخرى هو السلامة والإسلام من السلامة فعندما يقول المسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله فالمراد به أن يكون السلام عليكم من الله عز وجل وحرم الله لنا أن نظلم المسلمين والكافرين فقال تعالى ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق أوجب علينا أن نحترم حقوق الرجال والنساء والأطفال وحتى الأعداء أوجب علينا أن نحترم حقوق الأعداء والمشركين والكفار فقال تعالى ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق وقال أيضا ومن قتل نفسا فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما جاءه صحابي فقال له صحابي أوصني يا رسول الله فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تغضب فقال أوصني فقال لا تغضب فقال أوصني فقال لا تغضب ثلاث مرات فعندما نرى في سيرة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي حياته الطيبة نجد أنه كان يحترم الرجال والنساء والأطفال والأعداء والكفار والمشركين وفيه أسوة حسنة لنا كما قال تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه. الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إرغاما لمن جحد به وكفر وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فيا عباد الله إن الله تعالى قد أمركم بشيء قد بدأ فيه بنفسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. رضي اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اغفر المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم اصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم شتت شمل الكافرين. اللهم أذل الشرك والكفرة والمشركين ودمر ديارهم وشتت شملهم. اللهم مزق جمعهم. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فخذه اللهم بيده إلى كل خير ومن أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين شرا فخذه اللهم أخذ عزيز المقتدر يا قيوم السماوات والأرض. اللهم إنا نسألك باسمك الأعظم الذي به إذا سئلت أجبت أن تنتصر لعبادك المستضعفين في كل البلاد. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا ولإخواننا الحاضرين ولمشائخنا ولأرباب الحقوق علينا ولجميع المسلمين والحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة. إن شاء الله, as previously we will in the second rak'ah of Jum'ah prayer, we'll have the dua which is known as dua of Qunut al-Nazila. As I mentioned previously also that this is dua which is recited by the Muslims in times of trial and tribulation. When a calamity descends, Nazila is calamity, so when a calamity descends on the Muslims, then this is a dua known as Qunut al-Nazila, which is to be recited normally in the Fajr prayer, but you can read in all prayers in which you recite loudly, Fajr, the Maghrib prayer and Isha prayer and also the Jum'ah prayer. So inshallah we'll have that in the second rak'ah. After we stand up from the ruku', we'll recite the dua inshallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قام الصلاة قد قام الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Make sure the roads are straight. استووا واستقيموا واعتدلوا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب ترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت وإذا البحار فجرت وإذا القبور بعثرت علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت، وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت، وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت، وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت، إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يعز من عاديت ولا يذل من واليت، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل عالم، اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم، اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحور الكافرين، اللهم إنا نجعلك في نهور أعداء الدين، اللهم إنا نعوذ من شر الكفار، اللهم انصر المسلمين على الكثرة الطغاة، اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا رب العالمين، يا قيوم السماوات والأرض، يا رب العالمين. اللهم شتت شمل الكافرين، اللهم مزق جمعهم، اللهم دمر أشرارهم، اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من حورهم، ونعوذ بك اللهم من شرورهم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.